Welcome to Mormon Happy Hour. My name is Colleen Dietz. Join me and my guests each week for an entertaining recap of the hottest topics in Mormonism. We keep tabs on social media and headline news so you don't have to. Don't miss our live pro tips as you adjust to your new and exciting post-Mormon life. Mormon Happy Hour is here to bring you the irreverent side of Mormonism, wherever you may be. Hello and welcome to episode 60. So today is a bonus holiday episode that I am thrilled to bring you. This one is epic. I introduced the theme and the idea in the interview, so I don't want to take up too much of your time right now, but I did, while I have you, want to tell you, don't forget to vote for Mormon Happy Hour Best Podcast in 2018. I will put the link to the voting in the show notes. And scroll down the page because Mormon Happy Hour episodes are nominated all the way down. And if you're not even going to vote, I mean, whatever, but you should go just to check out the amazing ex-Mormon content. There's other people on there like Wordless Podcast. There's our sister podcast, the Drunk Mormon Podcast, is there. You need to vote for their theme song. I want their theme song to win so bad. So anyway, check it out, vote. And the other thing I wanted to remind you, just while I have you, is to get out your wallet, see if you have any extra cash in there, think about your monthly budget, and pour any surplus into Patreon so we can make this thing last longer. Maybe forever? I don't know. It's fun. And I promise I will make our Patreon relationship mutually beneficial. That means that I will stock you up with early content, bonus episodes, unverified gossip that I happen to hear in the pipelines that isn't quite fit for a regular episode release, but I'll share it with you on Patreon. And full video of interviews with my guests, and even some planning sessions like the one with Marie Kent and I. Good times. So anyway, trying a new approach. Please enjoy this part one of Happy Valentine's Day from Mormon Happy Hour, post-Mormon love stories. Welcome to Mormon Happy Hour and happy Valentine's Day. I had a brilliant last minute idea that I wanted to do. So Elena's the first one I'm interviewing, so she's going to be the first one on the episode. So I'm going to introduce the concept here first. Disclaimer, I suck at holidays. I really, really like, I don't ever remember to celebrate them. And then I don't know what to do to celebrate them. So it's lame. So, but I had a good idea this time. I'm like, oh, post-Mormon love stories, because so many of a post-Mormon journey has a lot to do with relationships. And yes. So I was like, oh, this is so many of us have these stories. So let's share some. So I immediately thought of my good and new friend, Elena. She's a local friend of mine who I met in a Facebook group. And shout out to the Wordless Podcast. Whoop, whoop. And we've hung out a couple times and we went out for coffee not too long ago. And she shared with me her post-Mormon love story. And it is epic. I love it. It has
cue the angels.
Aww. Right. It has so many elements of like not only is a romance story, but it's like a transition story, not only of faith, but of like sexuality. And I'm like, oh, it has everything. And it's like, again, the angels. So Elena, would you like to introduce yourself, kind of tell us what you do, how you're creative, what you want us to know about yourself, and then we'll get into your love story.
Sure. So I'm an Arizona native. Woo-hoo. And Yeah, right. And I live here in the valley with my four kids, and it's awesome. And my youngest is 8, my oldest is 16. I've got two boys and two girls. So I'm a seasoned mom. I've earned my stripes. And I am going through a divorce because in 2017, I fell in love with my girlfriend, Kristen.
Which is why we're here.
Which is why we're here. Dun, dun,
That's fantastic.
yeah.
And so, but before we get started, I did want to, no love story on Valentine's Day is complete without wine.
Oh, right.
So I
Right.
am gonna pour my glass of wine for myself and just sitting in my fridge for 3 days.
Glad that didn't explode on your equipment.
Everything
Whoops.
was nicely mixed
Hazard.
in.
Oh my. Folks, the podcast has not started yet. We are at the very beginning. The very beginning. Sure. Since last night, since like 10 hours ago.
It
She's
literally
laughing
shot
too
up
hard.
my
She can't even
nose.
tell me. Yeah, for real, you almost got a black eye.
Okay.
How's that for Valentine's Day?
At least, okay, here I'm gonna product plug right now, and I don't have Amazon affiliate links anymore, unfortunately. But these are I got so sick and tired of recorking my wine because I don't always finish
Oh.
the bottle. Sometimes I'm responsible. So these are silicone wine stoppers. They work really well. Obviously, you saw all that, you
And is
know.
that a ma yeah, is that a magnet on the end so you can just keep it on your fridge?
When I pulled it out
That
of the
would be
bag, I was
smart.
like, that's genius. And no, it's just a
Yeah.
bullshit thin little piece of metal to keep it, to
All
keep
right,
a
well now
shape.
we know how to make money.
I know, put a
That's our
magnet on it.
idea. We're
Duh.
keeping that.
Trademarked. So I'm gonna pour
Trademarked.
myself
Done
a
and done.
glass of wine, and then we can continue or
All
begin
right.
with Elena's love story. So you, my dear, can start wherever you'd like to start. If you would like to, I mean, yours is very intricately entwined and kind of, the
Yeah.
end of a marriage and a faith crisis.
Yeah.
So you go and do whatever feels right.
Okay. So let's just get it out of the way now that my love with Kristen started when I was married to someone else. So that is what it is. It's there. And if I could go back and do it over again, I would have had the maturity and the sense of self to be able to say, hold up, like Glennon Doyle did, like Shelley with Latter Day Lesbians, right? Like they all had the sense of self to be able to say, husband, I think we got a situation going on here before anything happened. I did not have that. And I think if people took enough time to understand my background and the context of everything that was going on, that becomes totally understandable. And yet it doesn't change the situation that I wasn't able to do that. And I wish that I was. I wish that I was able to, to put brakes on everything and to say, I need to sort this out. But I didn't. And time has passed and things have happened and we move on. And that doesn't say anything about my ex-husband. It only talks to who I am and where I'm going in my life. But we were married 17, 18 years, right about then. And I was going through like some intense times. So I was really Mormon. And when I say really Mormon, I mean like the Utah Mormon that lives in Gilbert, right? Really Mormon. And I was really trying to find a sense of self because I wasn't finding it in the religion. And that was freaking me the hell out because that's what the religion is there for, to tell you who you are and where you're going, right? And I didn't have that anymore. I'd really kind of lost that connection. And my kids were growing up, and so I was working my photography business, and I started weightlifting, and then I started running, and I was basically, someone else heard the story, and they're like, "So you were running from your life," and that was like literally and figuratively true, right? Like I was running ridiculous mileage and lifting crazy weights. It was so fun. And then I still like didn't want to be grounded in my marriage or in myself or in anything. And so I started yet another hobby and I started fly fishing, which nice. I really loved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm one of like six women in the state of Arizona that fly fishes. So there's that.
So true.
So if you're hearing, right? If you're in like Utah or Colorado, like half the state fly fishes because it's now the cool thing to do. But mm-hmm. Here in Arizona, it's still pretty rare. So I started fly fishing and I went to a club. There is a club in Phoenix, the Desert Flycasters. And I went to my first meeting and it was like in an Elks Lodge, like my first time ever in an Elks Lodge. Like that in itself was an experience. And I walk in and I see 150 male heads turn my way.
Like, wow.
And there's like six women in the room. And four of the six are over the age of 50 or 60. Oh, so my. I'm just sitting there and they have introductions for anyone who's new. I think there was probably six or eight of us that were new. And then they have a break and then they have a presentation. And so during the break, the president is telling the vice president, who is Kristen, like, you need to go introduce yourself to her. And she was like, come on, man, just because I'm a woman, like, you're the president, you go introduce yourself to her. And he was like, no, she'll like you better. Like, you should go. Like, I don't want to be yet another guy going over there and talking to her. She's like, all right. So she comes over and she's pissed off. And so she makes this joke, hoping to offend me so that she never has to talk to me again. And she says, well, I have boobs and you have boobs, so apparently we're supposed to talk to each other. And I died. I died laughing. And she was like, uh-oh. Like, oh, dear. So we talked for a little bit, enough for me to understand that she was in accounting. This was the beginning of April, so I knew she was in her busy season. And so I was like, I'd love to get your phone number and we could fish sometime. She was like, absolutely. So she gave me her phone number. And I waited. We met April 12th. That's the date we celebrate because that's the day we met. Uh-huh. And I waited till April 18th. And I texted her and I was like, hey, you probably don't remember me. Like, it was so surreal. But maybe we could go fishing sometime. Like an idiot. Maybe we could go fishing sometime. To which she responded very quickly, absolutely. I think I remember you.
Oh, that one so, other woman. Yes, I remember.
Right. You. Yeah. So then we texted for like 3 weeks, like nonstop, right? Nice. And just kind of poured out our hearts and souls to each other. And then she invited me to lunch at PETA Jungle. PETA Jungle holds a special place in our hearts. Aww. And yeah. And walked in, we sat down, and we ended up talking for 3 hours. Wow. Like they stopped bringing us ice water. Like, we were there so long. And it wouldn't end. And then, like, I don't know how much you want me to tell you. Like, I could tell you, like, everything, but it's...
So, just for background, neither you nor her, right. I'm sure you'll get there. This wasn't something that you were either pursuing romantically. This was just a friendship.
Yes. Yeah, which is where it gets really convoluted, right? And there's even like someone tried to give me a book that the concept of it is just friends. And it's about women who have these friendships and then the friendships cross a line, right? And it's deciding then at what, where is that line? Where are you comfortable with? Where's your husband? Blah, 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 blah.
Interesting.
So yes. So this is April. We're meeting for the first time at the end of April. Had this amazing conversation. I invite her over to the house. She meets my kids and we're sitting there eating Oreos. And at my house, we have Oreos and you use a fork and you stick it into the frosting. And then you use that to dunk it into the milk. Like, that's how you dunk Oreos, is on a fork. Because if you don't lose them, hello. Uh-huh. Right? Oh, come on. Now you're patronizing me. She thought it was amazing, Colleen. She was totally impressed.
It's genius.
I scored serious points. I mean, it wasn't an immediate panty dropper, but it was pretty close.
Nice.
No, just kidding. So, yes. So we just had a great, really great friendship, an awesome friendship. We clicked immediately. And we ended up going on our first fishing trip in May after Mother's Day. And it was to New Mexico. And we stayed at this great lodge, this great fly fishing lodge. And separate beds. All fly fishing lodges are meant to be for guys, like packs of guys that go. So they're always like twin beds, like two twin beds in a room. Mm-hmm. And so we were like in this fly fishing lodge and having the best time, such a good time. And at the end of it, we were supposed to be checking out and I didn't want to go. And I sat in the living room. There's this tiny little love seat couch. Mm-hmm. And I had my camera that we're both photographers and we've been taking pictures the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I sat right in the middle of the love seat couch and was like, come look at the pictures with me. Because I just wanted her to be close to me. And I still didn't get it. Like, I still didn't understand what was going on. I just knew, like, I had to talk to her. I had to have her look at me. I had to have her, like, touch me, like sitting on the couch, like being so squished. Like, that was like, that was so awesome. And I still had no idea what was going on. None. I was clueless. And so, let's see. So that month progressed and...
Well, hang on. I remember last time that lunch that you went to, that was when like you had been texting for 3 weeks and then you sat down face to face with her and all you could think of was look at me. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that was like the monologue in my head.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But so not recognized. Like I'd never felt that way. So I didn't know what that was. And I think I really, in my head, I was like, I've just needed a really close friend. I just need this attention. Like, I just need this ego stroke. Or I really blamed it on, like, all these other things. Yeah. Because, like, a romantic relationship wasn't even within the realm of possibility for me. Mm-hmm. So I knew I felt this, like, look at me. And then in the car on the way to New Mexico, it was like, touch me. Like brush my hand. Like, do anything. I don't care. And then once we got home, then I was like, holy crap. Like, I think I'm attracted to her. Mm-hmm. Like, it finally dawned on me. And then it was like, oh, this is bad. This is wrong. This is not okay. And you know why I thought it wasn't okay? Because I didn't think she was attracted to me.
Oh.
Like, it didn't even enter my brain. Like, I am a Mormon housewife. I can't have these feelings. Like, all that was stuck in my brain was, well, she's not attracted to me.
Yeah.
So I need to get rid of this. I need to get this out. And so that was when I really, like, I literally would run. I'd say, Elena, you're going to run until you're not attracted to her anymore. And that's how I hit my first 10 miles. Was because I wouldn't let myself stop. I had been going like 5 or 6 miles a day, 5 days a week. And that weekend, back from the fishing trip, I was like, you're going to run till you pass out or till you're not attracted to her anymore. Because you can't ruin this friendship. You need this friendship so bad. You can't ruin this. Don't screw this up. And so that became the monologue in my head. Don't screw this up. You need this. You need this so badly. Like, she brings you so much happiness. She understands you like no one else has. You can't screw this up. So that became the running monologue. And we went the next month, we went on another fly fishing trip together. And we just had this amazing time. It was so great. It was so great. And I remember sitting next to Oak Creek, right, in Sedona. We were in Sedona, and we were sitting next to Oak Creek, and we were just taking a break in the middle of the day, and I was like, man, crap, I want to kiss her. Dang it. Like, just holding it in, like, all weekend, holding it in. And then I couldn't hold it in anymore. And I knew she would never kiss me. because that's just who she is. Like, she knew she wasn't allowed to. So she would never give into it, ever, ever, ever. And I still didn't even know if she wanted to, but I couldn't fight it anymore. I was too weak. I couldn't do it anymore.
So what'd you do?
I kissed her.
So tell me the lead up. Like, what did you do right before? Don't skip any parts.
I sat in the bathroom, like, berating myself. For reals. Like, I'd stayed up all night to make sure I didn't do anything. Like, I was really worried that I'd be, like, that, like, I'd be half asleep and I would make a move. And that would be horrible. So I stayed up all night, like, making sure I didn't do anything. And then I finally had to go up and go pee, of course, right? And I'm like, I either have to stay in this bathroom, like, for hours, because if I leave, I'm going to kiss her. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed in the bathroom for a while, long enough that she was like, "You okay?" I was like, "Oh my gosh." And so, yeah, so I left the bathroom and I kissed her, and it was horrible at first. She's going to kill me for sharing this, but it's awesome. So I deal with some chronic pain from an injury a few years ago. And she knows that when the pain comes on really bad, I have to take this pain pill and then I'm half out of my head, right? Mm-hmm. So I kissed her and she pulled away and she was like, "Did you take a pill?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, she's not interested. I've totally embarrassed myself. I've ruined this friendship. Oh my gosh." Like, I'm in panic. And I'm like, "Nothing, nothing, not, nothing. I don't know. No, I don't know. What are you talking about? No." Like, I was just like, all I knew is that she had pulled away.
Oh, no.
And she was like, "Did you take a pill?" Like, she wanted to make sure that I wasn't, like, that I was sober, right? Uh-huh. And I was lucid. And I was like, "No, I didn't take a pill. Now stop talking about it. I don't even want to, like, maintain eye contact right now." Like, and then she kissed me back, and it was awesome. Yeah. Yay! Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I never knew. Like it says in books, like, you get butterflies and your knees get weak and, you know, with one look or one touch or one kiss, like, all of this stuff can happen. And I never knew that was real. That was legit real. I was 38 years old and I had never felt that. And it was amazing.
Yay.
It was amazing. Yeah.
It's beautiful. So.
Yeah.
So, like, tell me how has it progressed? How are you guys today? Like, how did you guys talk about, like, what the hell is this whole, like, I like girls thing? Because you both had to deal with this at the same time in your life.
Yes. Yes. And her way to deal with it was, like, because she, how do I even say this? She'd had people assume that she was gay because she played basketball. Mm-hmm. And so she was really, like, I mean, I'm not going to speak for her, but she communicated that it was, like, a sick joke that, like, she had, like, been interested in guys, tried relationships with guys, and here everyone in her life was assuming she was gay, and now here she is finally in a gay relationship. Like, so I think she was, like, part humor. It was part humor for her and part, like, all I know is this is how I feel. And I think I was very much the same way. I had never been attracted to women in the past. Like, there wasn't something that I struggled, like, going to church in. I wouldn't be in Relief Society and be like, "Check her out." Like, that never happened, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. But I did know, like, things didn't work for me in my relationship. Like, things just didn't work in my marriage. Like, so... But I never thought that – I knew it was my problem. Like, I knew that. But I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know. So to me, it was just like – you know, Glennon Doyle, when people ask, "So you're gay now?" And she'll say, "Well, I guess so. I consider my sexuality as Abby," the woman that she's married to. Mm-hmm. And that was so apt for me. Like, it was like, yeah, I guess I'm gay. But, like, what I'm so attracted to is Kristen. Just everything that she is and everything, every part of her and who she is. And, like, that's my sexuality is Kristen.
That's beautiful. So, and we can cut this if you don't want to talk about it, but what about the big V?
So, like, the fact that she was a virgin when we got together.
Uh-huh.
And that pretty much I was too, right? Like, I'd never been with a woman.
Right.
Which makes me, okay, I have three reasons why I'm the worst lesbian girlfriend. And that's number one, is that I spent 17 years practicing the wrong shit. Like, I have no game. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. Nothing. All I know is it all feels good. But I don't know what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Nice. I want to hear all three of them.
Okay. So that's number one, is that I'm a lesbian girlfriend with no game whatsoever because I spent way too long, like, not knowing, like, practicing the wrong stuff. Number two, the second reason I'm the world's worst lesbian girlfriend is that I'm bringing, like, four kids into this relationship. Like, here she is, she's slightly younger than me, she's never been in a long-term relationship, and she doesn't have kids. And here I am, like, boom, bitch! Like, here's an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 16-year-old. Instant mom, deal with it.
Wow. Hey, I mean, that was my life too. I'll get to that later, but I was like 0 to 4 in less than a year too. So I feel
for brills.
I feel
yeah. Yes. And then the third reason why I am the world's worst lesbian girlfriend is that I just like saying the word lesbian. I think it's hysterical. So I'm like in my first love, like, and I'm acting like a 14-year-old boy. For reals. Like, I'm constantly touching her. I'm constantly, like, hug me, look at me, touch me. And then at the same time, I'm, like, stupid jealous. Like, I'm way over the top. Like, no, for reals. Okay, this is my best story. And if you know who this is, don't say anything. But she texts me one day from work, and she's like, oh, my gosh, Luminaldi smells so good. And I'm thinking that she's texting one of her work friends and she's referring to a guy at work.
Uh-huh.
And she texts a little more like, I'm being so strong. I'm not even going over there, but it's so tempting, but I'm being so strong. And so I keep thinking she's texting a friend. She thinks she's texting a friend from work.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like on the ground, hyperventilating, literally like in the kitchen, like she's totally like into this guy. And she doesn't even know she's talking to me, and I'm going to lose her, and oh my gosh, like I'm freaking out to the point that I have to text my therapist and send her the screenshot and be like, I'm losing her, and I don't even know why or how. And she sends back a screenshot. Luminaldi's is a pizza place in downtown Phoenix. She was referring to the pizza.
She was cheating on you with pizza.
With pizza. Which is legit. I'd cheat on her with pizza. We just did whole 30, man. Pizza is like heaven and hell in one.
It is. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
So yes, she's dealing with
emotions in that story. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. And then, like, at the end, it makes you feel like, oh my God, I'm such a vulnerable idiot. Like, that I even went through that whole roller coaster. Like, what is wrong with me?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, and man. I'm trying to give myself grace. Like, Alina, most people fall in love in their 20s for the first time. Like, they fall hard, and they're idiots, but all 20-year-olds are idiots, so we just give them grace and just let them be idiots, right?
Right.
I'm being an idiot at 40. This is, like, my idiot time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we're still dating.
Uh-huh. And she's not a member. How's that worked out?
No. That was amazing. Let me tell you about that. So I went through, so my husband found out very shortly after we kissed for the first time.
Okay.
I mean, it was like a month later. Yeah, it was not a long extended thing. So he found out and I was like, I don't even know who I am. Like, Because there was obviously problems before Kristen and I got together, right? So it was like, I've got to fix myself. And here I am, a devout Mormon, and the bishop is telling me, like, you can't be gay. Like, this is a repentance issue. Like, you shouldn't have been going on those runs trying to not be attracted to her. You should have been using the process of repentance to not be attracted to her. Like, Jesus can make up the difference for that. Because, you know, that's lacking. So here I am, like, okay, like, I've got to fix myself and maybe fix my marriage, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, from the beginning, we were both like, I don't know if this is going to work. But we were certainly going to try. And so I went to reparative therapy 4 days a week, 2 hours a day for about 7 months.
No!
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, what's reparative therapy?
Oh, we're trying to un-gay me. They were trying to make me straight.
So like conversion, reparative therapy. They were going to convert you from your broken gayness to a perfect whole straightness. And what?
Yes.
Was it an LDS therapist?
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. They still do that?
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, his version of it, I don't know other people's stories of it. So I don't know like what they do in Utah or whatever. But I know what his practice was, that you must have trauma in your past that caused the disconnect, that caused the gayness. So we're going to fix the trauma of the past so that you can be attracted to your husband and you can be straight. So that was the goal. And yeah, there was trauma in my past. But guess what? Everyone has trauma in their past.
Amen.
And whether that, I don't think that, to me, that doesn't make you gay or straight. It doesn't. Because I fixed it. I worked really damn hard and I fixed my trauma and I still couldn't stop thinking about her.
Right? And you're still
so,
in love.
Yeah. I'm still in love. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm in love. Yeah. So I went through the therapy. And it just became really clear, like, it was that January. I was asking my husband for a separation, like a 6-month separation. Like, because everyone was like, how can you throw away almost a 20-year marriage on this person you've only known for a few months? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's legit. That's legit. So I was like, okay, maybe this is just a weird thing I've got to get out of my system. And once I have crazy. Like once it's not forbidden, and once it's not like the secrecy of an affair, like maybe all the emotion will go away, it'll fade away. So I was asking for a separation so that I could figure that out, and he was like, absolutely not, we're either staying together forever or we're getting divorced.
Wow.
It was not an option to do a separation. So that was January. And so I asked everyone for February. Like I said to both Chad and Kristen, like, I need to disconnect. And I need to just take a whole month of February to get very real with myself and figure out where this is going to go. Because at the end of it, I might not have Chad or Kristen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like at the end of it, I might only have myself. And I need to be really, really okay with myself. Mm-hmm. And so I took that month. I had moved into the guest room. You know, Chad wasn't going anywhere, but he's in taxes as well. And so he was in his busy season. So it's now like a year later, because I had done all that therapy. And I took the month of February. And by the end of it, I didn't know where it was going to go with Kristen, but I knew I was never going to be intimate with Chad again.
Yeah.
And then that was like, this needs to be over, because that's not fair to him. It's not fair to me. And it's not fair to our kids. Like, our kids deserve to see a loving marriage with date nights and cuddles on the couch and stolen kisses in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Like, that's healthy intimacy, and they deserve to see that modeled for them. Mm-hmm. And I knew I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able. I had barely played that role before.
Yeah.
And I knew there was no way I could play it in the future. So I knew the marriage was over. And so at that point, I just put the religion on the back burner. Like, I need to figure out, okay, I got to file for divorce. I got to hire a lawyer. I've got to move out of this house. Like, I've got to get all this stuff situated. And so all of that, we sold the house. I moved out, right? All the stuff got situated. And so I'm living in my new house alone for the first time. I mean, I got married when I was 20, right? So here I am, I was 39, alone for the first time in my own master bedroom with my own bathroom. It was amazing. And I was like, okay, I'm finally in a safe place where I can put religion back on the burner and be like, what am I doing? And I knew that Kristen at one point had told me, I just want to be with you. So if that means we go to church on Sunday together, then we'll go to church on Sunday together. I just want to be with you. And I didn't know at the time how big a deal that was. Like, she really struggles with organized religion. And so the fact that she would say that to me was a huge testament of how much she loved me. Wow. And she was like, if Elena chooses to do this, like, I got to be all in. So she started doing all this research about the Mormon church. And when you do research about the Mormon church, not a lot of great things come up. So she read CES letter. Like, she did all the rabbit hole research. Wow. And didn't share any of it with me. Wow. Not a thing.
What a good girlfriend.
Right? Wow. She just was there and was just like, whatever you feel you need to do, we're going to do it. It's going to all work out. And so that night I'm in my bedroom and I'm like, it's time to put religion back on the burner. And I'm just talking to God and I'm like, okay, do you want me to be one of those gay Mormons that goes to church and just hopes that the church eventually changes their stance and I can be accepted into full fellowship, or not? Like, where's my path? Where do you want me to go? And this has always been my relationship with God, and I've always received an answer, and I knew I would receive an answer when I asked, which is probably why I didn't ask for so long, because I wasn't ready to receive it. Mm-hmm. Because the disciplinary process had been horrific until I had moved, of course, and then I moved, and then they have no jurisdiction over me, and blah, blah, blah. So now I was finally in a safe place, and I was able to say, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And the answer came very clear. This church is not your path anymore. You're done. Yeah. You're done. And it was like that night, boom. Like, I could feel my soul, like, had a clunk, like, had a shift, like, done. And I didn't know, I had not gone down the rabbit hole. Like, I didn't know any of that. I just knew I received an answer and I'm not going to deny that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I told Kristen the next day, I was like, I had this experience last night. And she was like, okay. And she let it sit and she let it wait. And she kind of like tested her toes. Like, okay, well, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? And I was like, I don't know. I just know the church isn't true. I don't know. I just know that this isn't what I'm doing anymore.
Wow.
And she was like, but haven't you heard about?
So she was
whatever,
like,
right?
Little rabbit hole pieces of information at you.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. I don't really care. Right? Like, I just knew it wasn't that for me anymore. However, I will say the one thing that really got me was protect LDS children.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that one stuck. Like, when that subject came up, that was like, oh my gosh. And I immediately called my lawyer and asked her to put in the parenting paperwork that my kids cannot be in a one-on-one interview with any leadership without me there whatsoever, period.
Good.
Which my ex readily agreed to. Like, he didn't even ask me about it. Huh. So yeah. So I would say that was the one thing that, like, man, you're right. There's no other place in my life where I would say, here, take my 10-year-old daughter into a room with a guy I barely know and let him ask whatever question he wants.
Right.
There's no other place in my life that I would allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. None. And yet, for some reason, that's okay at church.
Right.
So that was probably the thing that stuck the most as far as like a doctrinal issue.
Right.
Yeah.
So where, yeah. And of course you weren't gay when the exclusion policy came out in November of 2015? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it would have affected you like any other normal straight person, but it didn't really like hit home like it might now.
Yeah.
Like it definitely would now.
Oh, it definitely does. Because I have a 16 and a half year old. He'll be 17 this summer. He has a senior year and then he's qualified to go off on his mission, but he'll have to disown me.
Such bullshit.
He will have to not be living with me for whatever amount of time the bishop deems reasonable.
Right.
And he will have to his leadership, disown his mother.
Such bullshit. Like, I thought the church was about family. What happened to that?
And isn't it amazing how that exclusionary policy has gotten twisted? So that's how people accepted it. It was about protecting the children so that there's not contention in the family. No, I'm sorry. You've caused more contention.
Oh, because disowning your birth mother or father is less contentious than accepting them? I'm confused. Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
I'm so sorry, Elena.
And it's coming quick.
Yeah. Hey.
And that was an amazing part of of the process was, okay, at what point do I tell my kids?
Yeah.
You know, this is a huge 180. Like, it's one thing to get a divorce. It's another thing to tell the children that you have raised to be staunch, conservative Mormons. I mean, they had to toe the line. We were that family, right? And to then turn around and say, your mom is gay, and the seminary that you go to every day says that she's a sinner. How are you going to reconcile that?
It's crazy talk.
It's insane. And somehow, some way, they're working it out. Like, they really are. Like, my boys are amazing, and they've shown me unconditional love since the minute I told them, to the point that they were like, yeah, we kind of thought maybe. And I was like, why didn't you say something? And they were like, because what if we were wrong? Awkward.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're incredible boys. They're absolutely incredible. And now they've accepted Kristen a little bit more. And, you know, they're not like best friends with her or anything. But it's okay. The other day, they were describing a normie. That I'm a normie and that kids at school are normies. I'm like, what is a normie? Apparently it's like it was best described as Emmett from the Lego movie, like someone who kind of follows the rules, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm a normie. And I'm like, is Kristen a normie? She wasn't there that night. And my oldest was like, no, Kristen's not a normie. She's a dank meme lord.
What?
What the hell is a dank meme lord?
I'm sure she'd be proud of that title.
She was so proud of it. She knew exactly what it was, and she was like on cloud nine. She's like, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's awesome. Like,
I don't care as long as she kissed me.
And she can relate to your teenage children better, right? I mean, how she really like Kristen? I don't know how anyone can not like her. She's adorable. I love her.
She's amazing. She's amazing. Oh, man.
Side personal note. When you guys came over for bonfire that one night, and then a little while later, my neighbors who were over were like, oh my gosh, those girls were so awesome. Like, they liked to fly fish and like blah, blah, blah. Like, they had so, like, they kept asking about you. Like, the guys were like,
oh my gosh,
come back over. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So they really, really like you. And it was funny because I invited you over, and then I was like, oh shoot, like, my neighbors are kind of like gun-toting conservatives. Like, like, oh, I didn't think that through before. I'm like, let's invite over the lesbians. And I'm like, oh, right? I don't know. Groups are gonna mesh like shit, and then like I'm like, whatever, we'll just let it go. And then all of a sudden, right? Like, it's, I look over the campfire and you're like all chatting, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. Kristen can chat with anyone. She really can, and that's been amazing to watch. Like, And it's probably what like riled up my jealousy so much was that she can walk into any situation and people are just totally attracted to her and want to talk to her and want to share their life story with her. And, you know, and then there's me like, okay, but I'm your girlfriend.
me.
me. I swear to you, in my real life, I am not like that. Just with her.
It's because you finally found something that you just cannot let go. Like, what an amazing feeling.
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah. I totally agree. It is an amazing feeling.
That's awesome. It's and incredible. Then, so this is the moment I fell in love with her, is I randomly, like, I met you on Facebook, and then I literally invited you over, like, that night. Like, hey, come over.
That day. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so then, like, you're like, well, let me talk to Kristen, see if she's up. And then you're like, okay, we're game. And I'm like, no way, this doesn't happen. And so then you show up at my door, and I was like, turn to Kristen. I'm like, hey, so how does it feel that your girlfriend dragged you along to a perfect stranger's house tonight? And she's like, my goal tonight is that I don't want to get murdered. And like she said, it with a total straight face. Funny.
Oh my gosh, that's so her.
I was like, oh, this is gonna work.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So funny. Well, anyway, so,
well, I hope I've given you the love story that you wanted.
Yeah, so like your love story was like ending marriage, finding yourself, how do you deal with being gay and Mormon, and then like, you know, accepting yourself, and then kind of like a faith transition. Like it was like everything. And it's just so complex, and I love it, and it's beautiful. I think both of you are beautiful. And I love the way that you are so in tune with yourself. Like, I think that's my favorite part of like listening to your journey. Like, you continue to grow. And I love listening to that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. I told Kristen when I was thinking about doing it, she's like, well, do you want to? And I was like, I love talking about us. I just want to talk about us. Yeah, I'll talk about us for an hour.
It's adorable. So do you guys have any plans for Valentine's Day since we're recording this a little ahead of time?
Well, so we have the kids the night before Valentine's Day and the morning of. And so we're planning. Okay, you were talking earlier about like planning for holidays. When I was married, like I was horrible at like doing holiday things with the kids and stuff. But now that I have this really creative, crafty, invested person in my life, like it makes it so much easier and inspiring. And so we have some plans to do with the kids Thursday before they leave for school. And then they'll go home from school to their dad's house. So I've got Valentine's night with just Kristen. So it's going to be some steaks and some yumminess. And
Netflix some good and chill.
Okay, I have to tell you this. Because she won't hear this until afterwards. So I'm hoping to be able to find time to like go buy some lingerie or something. Uh-huh. And when we were dating, she texted me this picture, and all it was the Victoria's Secret bag, like, on the car seat next to her. And I freaked out. Like, my eyes dilated. I got tunnel vision. I couldn't talk for, like, an hour. Like, I was, like, so massively turned on by this one picture. I was out of my mind. And I couldn't respond for like an hour. So of course she thought I was mad at her.
No, you so just left her on red for an hour? Yeah. Laundry room? Oh, you are the worst girlfriend.
I know. And internally, like I was like driving. I had to put my headphones in and just like try to see the road. But inside I was like climbing the walls, like the oh my gosh, it like overtook me, this concept that like she went shopping, like oh my gosh. I couldn't even process it. So today she'll get the same thing. She'll get a picture texted to her and she gets to deal with that for a while.
Oh man, that's adorable. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Elena. This has been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. And now it's my first podcast interview, so podcast virginity is done.
I popped your podcast cherry.
Yes. Yes. I hope you got what you wanted, Colleen.
Oh, it was good for me. Was it good for you?
It was really good for me. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lena. I'll have to have you back on. We'll do this again because this was like you. There's you have like this boisterous laugh and you're super loud, and that's like the part of me that I'm like, I try and hide that and fight that part of myself, and so then I find and I'm like, oh my God, it's like everything that I really am if I just like let myself like be me.
Yes. So, yes. So like, be you.
We are like kindred in the loud, boisterous way.
It's true.
Like I remember when we went to coffee, I was like I was yelling and I'm like, I'm so glad we're outside right now in the patio.
Right?
Everyone in the parking lot can probably hear every word I'm saying.
And who cares?
Right.
Yeah, for real. You do you.
So thank you. Thank you for setting a good example, Lena.
That's my job.
All righty. Is there anything else you want to say about like what you do and your goals, like your like dream?
Yeah. So I'm a family photographer right now. I've done that for 9 years. And I'll keep doing that for a little while, but I'm actually transitioning. I'm going to start hosting retreats for women. My whole concept is you've got to heal your past to fully live your present and command your future. And because that's what I went through, like I'd gone through decades of not healing my past and it blew up in my freaking face. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to help other women avoid that and take command over what's going on in their life. So I'm going to do some retreats and I've been asked to do some speaking engagements because I've got kind of a crazy story and it looks like it might also be coming out in a book. So we'll see.
So you're writing the book?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. There's been some people interested in the story. And so I'm getting started on that, of trying to write it out and make sense of it. Cause the childhood is like a whole nother story, right? It's its own insanity. And that's all what came up in the therapy, in the reparative therapy, which, you know, it didn't achieve what it wanted to achieve, but it achieved a lot for me.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. So can we find you? Can any of our local friends who want a kick-ass photographer find you anywhere?
Yeah, Thurston Photographs. Got the website. I'm on Instagram all the time. And I'm slowly transitioning that to Elena Joy Photographs. Just because my married last name doesn't have to be involved in it anymore. So
your last name is no longer Thurston. Or haven't changed it yet, but it soon will not be.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll change it because like my four kids have that last name.
That's true,
and so,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually still really close to my ex's family. Like they're amazing and wonderful. And yeah, they have a great relationship. We have a great relationship and I love them. And that's so nice. It's, I don't mind the name, but at the same time, it's time for a transition and yeah. I love Elena Joy. I love that a lot. So
is that your middle name?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. I know, right? Take advantage of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll put all of your links in the show notes. So if someone local needs to find you or anyone needs to find you, then they can find you. All right. Great. Thank you so
much,
Colleen.
Elena. Absolutely. Love your podcast. Love it. Yeah. Love it.
And you have a very, very happy Valentine's Day with your beautiful and amazing girlfriend, both of you.
Oh, I will. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up today's topics. We are so glad you stopped by. Be sure to join the Mormon Happy Hour on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon. If you smiled, please drop us a 5-star review wherever you found us. See you next week. Cheers!